to A Podcast Greater Than Yourself, Season 5. Thank you for listening. Do you have a question about sobriety, the 12 steps, sponsorship, or just want to contact someone from the podcast? Email us at podcastgreaterthanyourself@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at dr_silkworth or a podcast greater than yourself. If you're enjoying the podcast, please give us a rating on your podcast app and share the show with anyone who may benefit.
I like my camera when I have to have it on its side because I'm never looking directly at anybody. Hello, I'm ready.
Welcome back to A Podcast Greater Than Yourself. My name is Ted C.
And I am Mrs. Jones.
And today we're joined by...
Oh, me, Ursula. What up?
Hi, Ursula.
What up?
Hi, friends. What up?
Welcome back.
Hello.
Thank you. It is a pleasure.
From tomorrow.
From tomorrow, yes.
Yes.
Here I am.
I used to know... where exactly that you, well, not exactly, like not your GPS, not your address, but
where? My longitude and latitude.
Not precisely, in a rough way. But now I can't remember where do you live? I know you live in Australia, but.
Yes, I live in Adelaide. Is the capital city of South Australia. Yes, so we are down. In the down under. Yeah.
My wife and I have been watching that show Muster Dogs on Netflix. Have you seen this?
No.
It's all about cattle dogs in Australia. And they have the same litter. There are like 6 dogs and they send them to like every corner of Australia. And I was watching it the other day and the different names that they have for parts of Australia was fucking hilarious. Like, isn't one called just like... the top end or the bottom end or what is that?
yeah, the top end is it's not an official name, it's a bit of a nickname for the Northern Territory. Yes,
that makes way more sense.
if you want to see some really weird place names, I'll send it to you, but Google Tasmania's weird place names and they are obscene. They're like so many like boobs and dicks and butts and real town names. It's
you literally it meant named obscene.
Named by like 12-year-old boys apparently. Yeah.
I find myself very drawn to Tasmania ever since that murder show that I can't remember the name of now.
Oh yeah, Deadlock, that show is so good.
So good.
Yeah. Yes.
I sidetracked us because we have a reason to be here. It's that you have a burning desire for us.
It's not to talk about squeaking point and tomahawk, flower pot, boobs flat, breasted sugar loaf. Oh, lovely bottom.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Tungers Point. Yeah, these are some, there's some weird places.
This is actually a family-friendly podcast, so we're going to have to edit all that out.
Sorry, kids.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah. This is a cultural exchange. I guess I am here for a purpose, aren't I?
What
Should
is
I
it?
Get yes. into it?
Please.
Oh yeah. Well, so I have a simmering desire. I have a burning desire I would like to address. We talked about it a bit when I was here on the show last, and it is a topic that we do come across a lot, but I guess I just want to talk a bit more about my experience, because I know it is not unique in that you can spend a bit of time in AA, you know, you can essentially recover in the sense that, you know, that obsession to drink can be lifted. But I think it is a really common experience for people to feel like they are then missing something from the program, or perhaps they get an idea that the program is one thing and it's something else, and then it turns into this really weird thing. And so, like, for me, when I came into AA, and it was a few months before I found someone to sponsor me. So I was just going to a lot of meetings, and so I heard a lot of stuff, and I got a lot of ideas in my, you know, I got a lot of ideas in my head. And then, when I started going through the steps with someone, we were going through the 12 and 12, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there, but there's not a lot of instructions, as we know. And for me personally, what happened was when I got to step four and I was completely bamboozled, because I was like, right, my whole life story, what does that mean? And like, and it sent me into a spin, until I heard someone in a meeting talking about Joe and Charlie and the Joe and Charlie sheets and the Joe and Charlie tapes. And one night when I was just like completely fed up with myself, I was like, okay, what's this Joe and Charlie thing? I Googled it. I listened to them on YouTube and they broke down how to write inventory in the columns. What was the point? What was the purpose? And so I did inventory the way it was intended. And I had a really profound experience with that, writing the inventory and sharing it with my sponsor. We read 6 and 7 out of the big book. But then in terms of the rest of the steps, for me, it was a bit like freestyle. And I did amends to the best of my ability. But I wasn't really doing step 10. I didn't really get it. I was doing like my own version of step 11, you know, like doing lots of spiritual stuff, but missing those really clear directions that are in the book. You know, they say we can be vague about this matter, but like, we've got some really clear suggestions for you.
Preach.
And they are, they're really straightforward and they're grounded. You know, it can be really easy talking about spiritual stuff to get like, you know, caught up in all this woo-woo stuff.
For sure.
But yeah, you know, like I was going to meditation retreats, and I did have a sense of like this connection to my intuition. But I think because I was missing out on that step 10, I was just like banking up all this new stuff, like all these new fears that I didn't really have a way to clear, you know, all these new resentments, problems with my relationships. Because I mean, I was essentially a child when I came into AA. Like I was pretty young, and like I had no real life skills or relationship skills. I just knew how to drink. And then, yeah, with the step 12 stuff, like I was just trying to sponsor people the way I was sponsored, which was, you know, give them an endless amount of my time, you know, try to give them advice on what problems they're experiencing. And it was, you know, it got to a point where I was really uncomfortable. And I was like miserable in AA. I go to meetings and I just hear people complaining, which is probably just a reflection of, you know, my inner world, me just projecting like, oh my God, these people are just like complaining about their life. And yeah, I guess for me, I finally got to that point where I was like, surely I'm missing something. And I had this experience one day. I mean, a lot of things have kind of led me to finding, you know, big book people and finding the clear cut directions, you know, and, but there was this really specific experience that I had where I went to a meeting and I shared, I rocked up late and so did this other man. We both walked in the door at the same time and I shared towards the end. I was like, I feel like I've been sober for a while and I'm not worried about drinking. That's not my problem anymore. Like I've got regular people problems and I don't know what to do about them. And this man came and spoke to me afterwards and he didn't really give me any advice. He just said to me, he was like, I was working, he was on site, he was working. He put his tools down because he felt like he needed to go to a meeting. And he came and he spoke to me. And the message that I got from him was, he was following his intuitive thought, his intuitive guidance. Mm-hmm. That something in him propelled him to stop what he was doing at work, come to this specific meeting, and he delivered a message to me, exactly what I needed to hear, you know, this thing that I was missing, that I didn't have this clear channel in my life. And yeah, you know, that set me off on this little breadcrumb trail where I found other people who were, you know, talking about recovery in a different way than I heard in meetings, talking about the practical ways that they apply this program in their life. And yeah, I mean, I've said this before, like, you know, after reaching out and asking, you know, for a new experience with these steps, it was like, it was just here the whole time. Like it was just here in the book, on the pages. I just needed someone to show me without all the extra stuff. Yeah, and so I guess saying it all that, I know that's not a unique experience. I think it's really common to get kind of cozy in your little fellowship, you know, community. And the fellowship is really important. I don't want to shit on the fellowship. But I think the thing that happened for me was I had like this ceiling to what I thought recovery was, because I saw other people doing the minimum, so I did the minimum. I mean, I guess we are in an amazing position now where, you know, AA is on Zoom, we're so global, you know, we've got this wonderful podcast as a resource. I've learned so much as well from Recovery Radio, from Clay. Shout out.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's like, I had all these gaps in what I thought this program was, and some of the gaps that have filled in for me are, the whole point of this program is that it's spiritual and it's altruistic. You know, this isn't, and as a byproduct, we get relieved from alcoholism. But, you know, it's that line that I love and I return to a lot. And let me find it. So we feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies ahead before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. Like once the alcohol problem is sorted out, we got to go live our lives.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and go, you know, be good people. And yeah, I mean, I guess I would love to kind of pull apart some of the things that maybe you guys have observed, especially if you've worked with people who have been around in AA for a little while, like some of those gaps that kind of get filled in for people. Yeah, and I guess, yeah, interested to hear your thoughts in general. I think that's what I've got to say so far.
That was
Ursula, that was amazing.
Beautiful. Yeah. Like,
yeah, so good.
Just keep going. We don't need to say anything.
I love that this guy had an intuitive thought to come demonstrate to you that that's how this works. that is it. That we actually receive intuitive guidance. And it's not about how to tackle specific problems with specific solutions. It's how to receive that intuition with whatever we're each facing at the moment. And that's really cool. Like, I remember, no, I don't remember. But whenever, like, the first time I started hearing people share about that, I was like, what? Like, I had no idea that that's how you could experience God. It's just so cool. And I have worked with a lot of people similar to your experience, Ursula, who have, you know, time sober, even experience in the steps, but feel like something's missing. And every time going through the steps, if they stick around and follow the directions, they get to have an experience where those gaps are filled in, as you said. Like it seems that if you feel like something is missing, then it is, because this program does lead to a whole experience. Because God has guided me to seek outside help when I need it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know of many people who, by taking the 12 steps and say one fellowship, they become inspired to get help for perhaps another addiction or, you know, behavioral problem in their lives. Like, it still works. Like, so it's just, yeah. Beautiful. And yeah, it was all there in the big book, but who wants to read that, you know, unless you have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my sense is that, people, I don't know, I'm not going to do a better job than you did. So I'm like, feel like this, is, I'm going to try, but my sense is that people, settle, they have lower expectations and they settle for less. And that most of the time when my sense from talking to people, when they feel incomplete, or they feel incomplete is probably not the right word, but dissatisfied, or there's some part of them. So to use like spiritual language, there's, I listened to, I'll just say it, this guy named Jim Finley, who I love, and he always says that, like, having tasted this experience of, like, the kind of the experience that you described it, having with 4 and 5, he says, basically, I will not break faith with my awakened heart. Like, having had this experience, I know that it's possible. And because I know it's possible, when I'm without it, I, you know, it's not great. And also, I know that I can get back to it. And so I, part of what I kind of heard you say was like, I had this experience and then it kind of started to wane. And I think that for a lot of people, it's a 9-step or 9.5-step program and they begin to have an experience. And then my sense is that when they feel dissatisfied, it's oftentimes, and I say oftentimes, but I've never had it not be this, but I'm sure, you know, I don't want to say always, but my experience is oftentimes it's because their conception of the steps is as a thing that you do once, or that maybe you do it once a year or something. It's a process that you do periodically. It's not an ongoing process. And that's a huge difference, I think, because there are steps that you do maybe once or maybe once a year. Like maybe you do the action steps, not, you know, whatever. When I say that, I mean like maybe you do a full fourth step. I don't know. I've done three full fourth and fifth steps in my life. Maybe you don't do those that often, but I'm trying to do live in steps 10, 11, and 12 like every day. I mean, I'm not succeeding every day, but I'm, you know, that's my intention. And I think that's a big part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, this is a thing that I've come across chatting to other people since having this new experience, where they, you know, they identify that something is missing. And so, you know, perhaps they'll ask, you know, people for advice, or they'll, you know, take what they hear at meetings. And so they'll, like, you know, go to more meetings, or, you know, take on like multiple service positions, you know, start calling people every day, you know, like calling a older sober member to, you know, absorb some sort of wisdom from them. You know, like all these ways where it's like, we're exerting our will more rather than kind of finding a way to actually, step out of the way of trying to control things. I think it's an easy trap to fall into because, you know, it's what we hear a lot in the rooms, especially when you're starting to feel afraid. Like, you know, I had this thing and I feel it slipping. And so, you know, and you hear people talk about, oh, you know, this man had 20 years and he stopped going to meetings and then he died. Like, you know, it's just like, it's just... you know, and kind of, I guess, twisting or misinterpreting that, you know, that resting on our laurels, alcohol is a, you know, what is it? Subtle
foe.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess on that point, you know, I love a beautiful thing that, you directed to me, Mrs. Jones, was Dr. Silkworth's letter on slips and human nature. And that's a thing that I share with people a lot, you know, that idea that if you've recovered from an illness and you follow your doctor's guidance and then, you know, you start to feel better, and so maybe you don't worry about your diet so much or your exercise, or, you know, maybe you stay up late and then your illness, you know, pops its head up again. That's not, you know, that's just being a human. We're just like, we just get comfortable and then we don't have to try so hard. And it's not, you know, it's not like, you know, a cardiac patient, you know, their cardiac disease is doing push-ups in the parking lot. Like, that is just it's just such an absurd
it really is. Twaddle.
And I mean, our friend B from New Zealand said it so beautifully as well, you know, like if you are doing this thing, if you're propelled by fear, it's, you're really missing the point. It's like,
well said.
What you said about the more self-will, just throw more self-will on it, and when you're scared, it becomes even easier to do it. Have you seen the episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they, with the cats in the wall? Have either of you seen that?
Oh, yes. So just put more cats in the wall.
So one cat gets stuck to the wall until they're like, well, you know what we got to do? We got to get another cat in there because that cat will show the first cat how to get out. And then, like, at the end of the episode, there's like 27 cats in the wall. And it's like, that's exactly the same thing. It's just like, well, what if I... It's like, that's actually a good metaphor for like the whole alcoholism thing too. Just like, what if I just try harder? It's like,
what if I just try harder? So more cats in the wall then?
Yeah. It's just fucking throw more cats at the problem.
I don't know if that's my dream or my nightmare.
Cats in the wall?
Yeah.
It depends on if they're safe.
I'd be smashing some holes though. Get them out of there.
Preach.
Can I go back to something you said, Ursula? Did I hear you right that your sponsor guided you through the 12 and 12, but then went over to the big book for 6 and 7? That's wild. Cool, because like I hear the other way around of people thinking that the big book isn't complete on 6 and 7. True. So even if we're going through the big book, now we're going to go to the 12 and 12 for that part. But the other way around is kind of adorable. I don't know how to...
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about all that, like, I think that's maybe the only page in the big book that we read together. But she was actually...
Very random.
But like she would talk to me about other things from the book. I mean, a thing that she would say to me a lot was decisions based on self that put us in a position to be hurt. Like she would say that to me a lot, but I could never get it. Like I didn't know what that meant. And I think because we hadn't read like the rest of the book together. But yeah, I think, I don't know, she was actually big book sponsored, and then kind of reverted to the 12 and 12. I really should ask her about that one day, cause I'm not really sure why that was. But like when I came into the rooms, The 12 and 12 and the big book were presented as equal kind of entities. And I was like, well, it says 12 steps and 12 traditions. Yeah. So that's the book that has, and it's chapter one, step one.
Exactly.
This is the book that I'm supposed to read, I guess. And I think that's a trap that a lot of people fall into because it's like
so many,
I don't know where these steps are in this book. There's like, it just says all this weird stuff. It says, it says how it works. And then it says all these weird words like balked and like, I don't know. So, I mean, I think I was happy that it was just 6 and 7 was one page, and I was like, tick, tick, killing it. Look at me go.
Look at me go. True. Can we do a rewrite of the big book, plain language, but we don't change anything except we do chapter titles for each step. And so like the chapter on step 6 is just going to be one paragraph. The chapter on step 7, but we do it like that.
Fuck yeah.
And now it's in plain language.
And now it's manageably sized and demystified because people know for sure that the instructions are in there and then
it'll sell like hotcakes.
Like, why do I have to say this? Why do I have to do step or whatever? Why do I have to spend 10 weeks on this if it's 3 pages long or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I think that's a great idea. I have a question for you, Ursula, that something you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. If, unless I don't want to deviate too far, but I think this is a deviation. You mentioned you went to like meditation retreats, and you, I think you said plural. Have you been to more than one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I've been like spiritual since I was a child. Like I grew up in, I went to Catholic school, but in my home, we were like spiritual people. My mom hung out with like psychics and mediums, and we went to meditation circles. So like coming into AA, I was like, yeah, spiritual, that's fine. I'm already spiritual. Like I already know how to be spiritual. And it's been interesting for me because I think only since going through the steps again have I realized how much prejudice I had about God in spiritual terms, because I had this massive I was like, yeah, tick, I'm already like, I'm so spiritual. But it's like, well, obviously it hasn't been quite enough. I do feel, however, that like, you know, just reflecting on, you know, looking at things in hindsight, in how it was that I came to be in Alcoholics Anonymous, like it was divinely led, and it was because the person who helped me out and really confronted me about my drinking was a woman that I knew because of the spiritual things that I did. So I've always had this faith, but I guess I've been missing really the clear, like, you know, the point. What is the point of doing spiritual stuff? You know, like you can meditate and, you know, like do, yeah, go on retreats and yada yada, and then go home and just like keep doing your life in exactly the same way. Like I've had a nice little holiday, but like what have I actually learned? What am I actually changing? So, you know, all that stuff, all those practices have so much more, I guess, depth now, because I'm doing those things with a particular intention now, you know, that my reason for, having these, you know, spiritual ideas, these spiritual practices, is that, you know, I want to continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness. You know, I want to be able to, you know, use the talents and gifts that I've come into this life with, you know, to help people, and to, you know, just live a good and useful life and not be a dick, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Cool.
It's gorgeous.
I love it.
It's fucking gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah. Because I know heaps of spiritual people who are total dicks. And, you know, and I know a lot of, you know, religious people who are, you know, perhaps they're a part of a religion that gets a bad rap normally, but, you know, the way they live is separate to perhaps what people would expect from them because of their religion, you know.
Yeah.
It's bit of a tangent, but
I disagree. I one of the things that always strikes me about, so I had like questions about the meditation retreats that you answered, so I was like, oh yeah, I gotta pivot here. But the thing that always gets me is that AA is ultimately super like practical. Like, it's much more, because I do meditations, and I do meditations in the way that the book describes them, and I do meditations in like the like more Eastern way, that the way the sensibility of today is more that meditation means sort of like I'll just say, so like my sense coming into AA was like, okay, meditation is meditation. That means I light a candle and I sit crisscross applesauce and I be still and I shut my eyes and I put on the sound of the ocean or somebody dings a gong. And my understanding of what the big book means by meditation is more of what might be today be called contemplation or like thought, which is just like, okay, I'm gonna set aside time to turn my thoughts to a very particular thing and I'm gonna meditate on that topic. And so I am a person who now does both of those kinds of meditations. Not every day do I do like light a candle and sit crisscross applesauce, but I do it fairly often. And I just know from my own experience that it is super like you said, you were freestyling the steps after from six on. The latitude that it gives you is beautiful, and like the idea of being able to develop your spiritual practice, but it's also what's the right word? It isn't very goal oriented necessarily. It's kind of like wandering, and also it's very easy to be like, I fucking meditate. I'm a guy who like it goes to my head pretty quickly. And then I'm looking down on other people. I'm like, I bet he doesn't even know who
I bet
Ram
he can't
Dass
even
is.
Cross his legs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so it is kind of a trap. It can be for me anyway. And then I come back to AA and it's like, dude, just think about your fucking day. How about that? How about you just do that? Yeah, right? Know. Like, quit being such a debutante about it, or like just do this thing, right? Quit. And I think that's kind of beautiful. Like I've heard people describe the Black Church and Alcoholics Anonymous as America's contributions to spirituality, and that the thing that AA is like a quintessentially, well, I don't know if this is even true, but like a quintessentially American thing, because it is just like so practical. It's like, we don't give a fuck what you believe. We're not even going to talk about it, right? In fact, don't talk about it. Don't give me any particulars, because all we're trying to do, it's like a fucking factory in there. Like, that meeting is just a factory, and we're going to Henry Ford you a spiritual experience. You just pick this piece up, and then this piece, and then this piece, and then this piece, and when you slam that shit together, you got a recovery. And don't step on anybody else's shit. Like, don't tell them what they're doing is wrong, so long as they're doing this thing, and it works. And we don't even fuck with trying to figure out why. And in fact, it's don't try. You know, I love that. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, totally. And I wish that that was more prevalent, that understanding. That, you know, it's because, yeah. If only it was all just written down in a book somewhere.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, if there was a book that explained all this. Because Ted, you described like the ideal fellowship, you know what I mean? like, you know, we don't tell people what to do, and we don't even talk about, you know, our own opinions, but in many rooms, you know, we'll hear that of like shitting on religion or misinterpreting the spiritual path, or, you know, I mean, which is ultimately, it's a good thing, because I'm glad that we have these traditions that give us the freedom to say whatever shit we say. You know, like if meetings had some kind of governing board coming in and correcting people.
Can you imagine?
If they, yeah, like that's not in the big book. Like nobody would attend.
I would.
Yeah. But it'd be nice. If only people would do as I wish.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, on that point, like, I think, like, one of the many perspective shifts that I've had, like, when it comes to AA and, like, just all the ways that it is completely uncontrollable, it has been such a great teacher for me. You know, like, it's kind of like, I think I've heard someone describe, you know, AA is like the sandbox. You know, this is where we are learning all these, well, for me anyway, where I'm learning all these people skills, you know, like how to deal with people that I disagree with, like how to be tolerant and loving and like give people grace, and like how to, you know, operate with integrity and, you know, have good judgment, you know, just because, I don't know, you know, like, you know, not just letting people walk all over you. I don't know. I just, I love, it's a beautiful chaos in AA that teaches me so much. And so, I don't know, it's like, maybe it's absolutely perfect that it is such a mess because we have the opportunity to get so much out of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Beautiful chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
It's been good to me.
Coincidentally, that's the name of a town in Tasmania.
Beautiful Chaos. It's also the name of my memoir.
Aww.
About recovery. Now I'm gonna write my own recovery manual.
With your giant picture of you on the cover.
Me, yeah.
Beautiful Chaos.
Yes.
The story of Ted C.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. What could go wrong? Yeah.
Stay away from hot tubs.
Oh, too soon.
Sorry. May he rest in peace. For real.
For real.
Yeah. For reals.
Don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
Don't come out publicly as a celebrity in AA.
Oh,
new topic.
Yeah.
My burning desire.
Oh, yeah. Cringe button reaction.
I also want to walk back. This has been bothering me, so I'm just going to do it now and get it out of the way before we end the episode. Somewhere in the archives, I picked Russell Brand as a better hang than Holly Whitaker, and I'd like to formally retract that statement now.
Yeah, that did not age well.
Fuck, yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, go ahead and publish. I'm going to publish my book now, though, with all the instructions.
We go back to the old episodes and, like, just... you know, dub in Holly Whitaker.
Holly Whitaker. Yeah. A lot of people got some splaining to do.
Do a director's cut, an extended version. We'll just come in and make comments on our own comments.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I listen back to this in a year or two, I'll be like, yeah, I've got some different thoughts on that. But
that's the point.
Yeah, these are.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. I guess that's the great thing about meetings not being recorded.
Yeah, thank God.
Like with speaker tapes. Yeah. I sometimes wonder about how, you know, circuit speakers feel about their speaker tapes. You know, like.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. We get to hear some of them. We'll talk about it. You know, like how they changed over what they used to say from the podium. It's interesting.
I don't know if
but yeah, you know, we're supposed to outgrow our old ideas. Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes I think back on I know that we've probably all done this. Certainly Miss Jones has probably done it. Think back about things that I've said in this forum, and I've been like, oh man, I would not do that again. Right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck
man. It.
Whatever.
I was so stupid last week.
I was young. It was a different time.
I was young. Yeah. Oh. Young and dumb. Beautiful chaos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What Thus a delightful we grow. Topic. Ursula, you were like, I don't know if we're going to have enough to talk about. I'm like, how dare you?
That was awesome. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I guess I just want to add anyone who is listening, you're probably already in that place where you're looking for something else. But a thing that I have recently come to realize is that I need to be talking about this a bit more, like, you know, in my community. And I would like to encourage others to as well. You know, like, be honest about the fact that, you know, it's we've missed stuff. And I think that is maybe more powerful than saying, like, you know, I understand all the directions and this is, mm-hmm. you know, this is what it says. But yeah, to kind of just give other people permission to say, yeah, I've realized that I was missing the point here, or, you know, not doing things in a particular way, and now I'm getting different results. So yeah, that's my final thoughts.
Love it.
Fuck yeah. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, Ursula.
Thank you. Yay.
Yay.
We should just do this over and over and over again.
Beautiful.
This has been a podcast greater than yourself.
A podcast greater than yourself was created by recovered alcoholics. All involved in the creation of this podcast are active members of Alcoholics Anonymous who wish to carry the message of our own recovery to those who still suffer. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous. All comments are from our own experiences as alcoholics who have recovered by following the directions for the 12 steps found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening.